Well, first of all, I'd like to thank for letting me come.
Amen.
Anytime I get a privilege to speak from the Lord, I take it.
Amen.
I love to speak what the Lord has done for me. He's died on the cross of Calvary for my sins.
Amen.
If he hadn't have done that, there wouldn't be no use standing here.
That's right.
There wouldn't be no use anybody meeting here.
Amen.
I don't deserve being a missionary. I don't deserve being a pastor. But it's not up to me to choose what I do. Like Job said, Lord, I can't speak. I've got a speech impediment. But Lord backed up and says, who made your mouth? Who made you? What can we say? There's no excuse.
Amen.
Amen.
So, when I was 16 years old, I was sitting over in Nueva Laredo in the church services. I was sitting about three pews back from the back. And some kids decided to stone the church. So, they stoned it, knocked the windows out. And I caught me a rock about the size of my hand on the back of my head. Knocked me cold as a cucumber. I said, when I come to, I'm not come back across that border again. Sound familiar? But you know, I moved to North Carolina, got married. Then he called me to preach. First of all, he gave me a love for people, for lost souls, that you can't get out of. Then he called me to preach. Not before. Then he called me to preach and went off to school. Got at school. Then he put a love for the Mexican people in my heart. I can't get out.
Amen.
And then he called me to Mexico. Because he knew if he did it, vice versa. He knew what the answer would be. But I thank him for putting a love in my heart.
Amen.
And if you get a love in your heart, you want to see him win.
Amen.
If you don't have a love in your heart, you won't go nowhere.
That's right.
You may want to see people saved, but if there's no love, there's no work. Tonight, well, before I get into the sermon, I'd like to say I'm going to work with my father there in Laredo, Texas. Be working down in Nuevo Laredo and down on in Mexico, Cuernavaca, and up in the mountain area there. And I've seen my father in all his life. Watched him when he first went to Mexico until now. And the Lord called me to work with him. And he put in remembrance of me, he put to my mind to look at my father as Elijah. And I look at my father as Elijah, myself as Elijah. I want to take my father's work. I want to take his mouth,
Amen.
And I want to see a double portion.
Amen.
I'm not doing it jealously. I'm not doing it for gainsaying. I want to do it for the Lord. The potential's
Amen.
There. I know the people. I grew up with them. I grew up in Cuernavaca. I lived in Cuernavaca for 13 years. I know the people. I know how they think. I have the problem of thinking in English. And I think like they do, and I act like they do. I love them with all my heart. And you know, I thank the Lord for calling me to work with me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I want to see a double portion of my father's work. I want to lay something at the Lord's feet.
Amen.
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 Because he
Amen.
Saved a sinner, and I want to give him something.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Okay, let's get into the scripture. Hebrews 9, verses 27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Think about it. Appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The purpose of life on this earth is a vapor of time in which to prepare for a long, long eternity. In James 4, verse 14, Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But ye know, but now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Where do you wish to spend eternity? There are two great eternities. We must choose one or the other. There's no neutral ground. There's no in-between. People think, oh, there's an in-between. We can choose back and forth. But no, there's either heaven or hell. There's two basic colors, black, white, right, wrong, up and down, heaven or hell. There's a choice. Take one or the other. One is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. So that ye were, 4:16 through 17. I was looking at the wrong one. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I like that part.
Amen.
Amen.
I like that said where it says, comfort one another.
Amen.
Them are some comforting words.
Amen.
You know, we think of getting riches on this earth, building a nice, fine house, nice car, and have a nice job. How long does it take to destroy them? One match will destroy it all. But what can destroy a mansion in heaven? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And you know, you can work all your life building you a mansion here on this earth, and you can lose it just that fast. And what have you gained? Worked all this time. And when you stand before the Lord, what can you show him? Your ashes. I like to bring lost souls to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then when you stand before him, he said, well done.
Amen.
When you show him your ashes, you have nothing.
Right.
You show him souls that's been saved and multitudes of sin that's been covered, then you have something.
Praise the Lord.
Where do you put your priority?
Amen.
On your house or on souls? We have that to look forward to. The blessed privilege of living forever with the Lord in heaven. We have another choice. In 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, 1st chapter, 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, we see here destruction. There's a word before it says everlasting destruction. Have you ever, when you were a kid, got a hammer and got your toy car or something and just beat the pure mud out of it?
Amen.
It was destructive. And there was no more to it. It was that. Think of a lost soul when he's in hell. He'll be destructed. Total. He'll be total destruction. Continually. Everlasting. Being destroyed. Have you really thought of it? everlasting destruction. We think of a building burning down. That was destruction. There was an end to it. But a never-ending thing. That's what a lost people's going to do. Someone that doesn't choose heaven. He'll burn forever. And you know, he's not just going to burn. Sad part about it, if you witness to him, he'll remember that. Every little second. Click through his mind. Sad part about it, worms will be eating him all the time. And I'm glad. And when I get to heaven, the Lord's going to wash all our tears away.
Amen.
Because I've got some friends that are burning forever. You know why? Neglect. Didn't tell them. Have you told yours? If you got some in the same shape, better do something about the others. Because they're going to be burning forever too. Sad part about it, at the judgment seat, we'll see them again. And they'll say, why didn't you tell me? Better tell them while you can. Because the day is soon approaching. The Lord's hand. The Lord's right at hand. We better do something about it. Today.
Amen.
Not tomorrow.
Amen.
What did the old, when the Lord was getting the children out of the Egypt, old Pharaoh said, tomorrow. The Lord said, today. We better do something today. Tomorrow is too late. And so, they're going to be in everlasting destruction. The terrible anguish of living with Satan in a burning hell. You got two choices. I'd say there's not a very good choice, the second one. I'd much rather choose the first one. But you know how you get the second one? By doing nothing. I heard a man on the radio coming up here. He said he found a track one day. And it said on the front, how to go to hell. So he opened it up, and it had nothing in it. He turned it over, and he says, that's right. Do nothing. Just do nothing. And that's where you'll go.
Right.
That's a positive destiny. Our God, our Creator, He has given us a privilege of personally choosing the abiding place of our soul. He gives us a privilege, personally choosing. In Romans 3:10, He tells us none is righteous. In Romans 3:23, He tells us all have sinned. So we know within ourselves, nobody else to tell us that we're any good. We know we're not any good. Some people try to fool themselves. Says, I'm good. I'm good. But you stop them and think about them. Have you ever done anything when you were wrong, when you were a kid? Have you ever stole something? Have you ever took a cookie out of the cookie jar when your mama told you not to? Have you ever told a white lie? A white lie, you're guilty of hell. Your destiny is hell. The smallest sin will send you to hell. But people say, well, you know, I've quit doing all these things. I'm going to start doing good from now on. What about your sins? They'll never be forgotten unless you take them to Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for them.
Amen.
He said, come to me and I'll forgive your sins. But if we never do it, it's just like if someone gives us a Christmas present. Says, you can have it if you'll come and get it. If you never come and get it, you never get to enjoy it. And after a while, it sits there. He may move it. It may not be yours no more. Sometimes you reject the Lord a long time. And after a while, your heart is so hardened that you don't want to be saved. And then the Holy Spirit quits dealing with you. It's a sad thing. Then you die and go to hell.
Amen.
You'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. And then in Romans 6:23, we see the wages of sin is death. Death is waiting for those that sin. But I like this in here in Romans 5:5-8. Christ died for us.
Amen.
And I like that.
Amen.
If he hadn't have died, there's no use doing anything. We might as well go ahead and give up. But I know he died. Now the brother's saying, I know I'm saved.
Amen.
If you don't have to know so, there's no hope. Because it's just like if you know you're alive. When Christ comes in your heart, you know you're alive. You know he lives within your heart. And I'm glad I have a know-so salvation. Not a if, maybe, hope so. It's a know-so. Because when I go take the word of God to a lost and dying world that already has a hope so salvation, I'm not taking them nothing.
Right.
I want them to, when they accept Jesus Christ in their heart, they can stand up and say, I know I have Jesus Christ in my heart. Because if they can't say that, don't think Jesus Christ went in there. Just like if you're alive, you know you're alive. And I'm glad he lives within my heart. And in chapter 10, 9 through 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
It's not hard to be saved. It's not hard. Come as a child. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. He'll come in. He'll abide with you. Suffer with him. He wants to save you. And in Ephesians 2:8, he says, by grace are you saved.
Amen.
It's not what you've done.
Amen.
He said, I did it for you. You didn't do it for me. He said, I want you, when you come to me, I hung on the cross. I bled my life out.
Amen.
I hung there in shame. You know, you see pictures of him. He still has his beard on. And he's laying there with hanging on the cross with clothes on him. But you know, he hung there naked. You know what? When they stripped somebody and hung them on the cross naked, you know what that means? They hang him there as a symbol of homosexuality. They made him the lowest of the lowest could be. They shamed him as far as he could be shamed. So, can we take a little shame from our friends? It's not shame. We ought to be glad to tell them what Jesus Christ did for
Amen.
Us. Because in John 3:16, he says, everlasting life.
Amen.
He said, I give you everlasting life. It's not hard to take. In Isaiah 2, chapter 2 and verse 18, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. If we read this chapter up and down there, the Lord will destroy all idols and all that put their faith in them. Do we have idols? Not in America. We don't have idols here. We don't have our little idols sitting up there. Let me ask you something. Have you ever got up one morning and your car wouldn't start? Gotta have my car. You don't care what it costs to get it fixed. You'll get them out there. I had this one fella there in North Carolina. He took them with him. He wouldn't go to work. He wouldn't go nowhere until that car had to be fixed. It had to be going. I got to have that thing going. He would eat his fingernails all the way down until they started bleeding until that car got fixed. He was just a little jither. People say, oh, America don't have their idols. What about their houses? I got to have a house better than my neighbors. Fix this up and fix that up. I know living in Mexico, you see the people in their little houses. They don't worry about their houses. They're worried about getting something to eat from the next day. And here we are trying to be better than somebody else. And they're just trying to eat. America's going to pay for playing with their idols. Just like Mexico's paying for playing with their idols. Every nation has an idol. It may not look the same, but it's the same. And then in Revelation 19:20, he tells us the Lord will destroy all that are against him. He's going to destroy them all. All that are against him. Let's think on these things. If you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Have you thought about it? How far are you away from hell? How far are you away from heaven? One heartbeat. Are you guaranteed about another heartbeat? Nobody's guaranteed. This friend of mine, they used to be missionaries in Mexico, there in North Carolina now. And I was talking to him about 6 months ago. And his daughter was sitting in school and they were taking a test and her other friend was sitting over beside her over there. And they both would go witnessing every day. She was a great soul winner. She loved the Lord with all her heart. And one day, she was sitting there in the classroom. She finished taking her test. She stood up and turned around and killed over just like that. Doctors examined. Nothing wrong with her. She just died 16 years old. Nobody's guaranteed another heartbeat. None of us in here are guaranteed we'll walk out that door. We'll have one of these two destinies to meet, heaven or hell.
Amen.
It's not a pleasant one. You can't buy your way to heaven. In Acts 8:20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Nor can you buy your way out of hell. Matthew 25:46. And this shall go away, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You can't work your way to heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Nor can you work your way out of hell. Luke 16:26. And besides all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you that would come from thence. Hell is inherited. Hell is inherited by neglect. Hebrews 2:3. How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How long halt you between two opinions? 1 Kings 18:21, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, anything that replaces God in your life, then follow him. Who are you going to follow tonight? You going to follow God or are you going to follow Baal? In Psalms 146, in verse 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He revealeth the fatherless and widowless, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down.
Amen.
If you're not saved, the Lord's going to turn you upside down. And then back up in verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob.
Amen.
For his help.
Amen.
Whose help is in the Lord.
Amen.
His God. There's two choices. There's no in between. Choose them today. Tomorrow may never come.
Amen. Amen. Amen.